I have discovered in my life that God consistently reminds me of things that I need to remember. And so it happened this past week as if you were here last week, you know that I wasn't here. Father Scott was doing the weekend for me. We traveled to Florida for a quick trip so that I could preside at the memorial service for one of our dearest cousins who passed away. And as always, it was a quick trip, and people came from all over. The families are scattered, like most families are these days, and we didn't have a lot of time to get together, and the time we had was intensified by the emotional responses that we were all having. And I was reminded about how marvelous God has created our bodies to be. It's absolutely amazing to me how our bodies, because of God's miraculous design for us, our bodies can regulate our emotions. And He has created us with, you know, what we now know as the vagus nerve, the 10th and longest of all the cranial nerves, goes from the base of the cranium down through the abdomen. And it does have a major ability to regulate us. And when we find ourselves in stressful situations, our body regulates that. When we're overwhelmed, our body has a way of making us slow down. And when we're in threatening situations, our body has a way of lifting us up and preparing us, totally out of our conscious control. And so I noticed that there were some, including me, who were yawning a little bit and were tired and were a little subdued and a little detached, a little dissociated a bit. And there were others who were wired and excited. We respond in different ways to emotional stimulation. And so we did. And I was amazed at how some of us were really up and motivated and connecting, and some others of us just sort of sat back and just let our bodies slow us down. God is so amazing how He's created us. And He's done something else other than giving our bodies such wonderful abilities. He's given us family to be with. And so when our bodies are regulating themselves, we have the ability to connect with others and thus lift each other up. But it's always different by the person, because God has created us to be different. And so our responses are different. And in our time together last weekend, it was a very, very quick trip. We all sort of wound up at the end being a bit exhausted. Now, the greatest example of emotional responses that seem disproportionate, or maybe not, that seem unusual, come in our gospel lesson for today. We have the incredible story of Jesus' first resurrection appearance in the upper room to His apostles. And it comes right as another story is ending. As we pick up the lesson, we see that two disciples of Jesus have just come back to the upper room on Easter evening from Emmaus, where they'd gone home. The two disciples had been so overwhelmed by watching Jesus die on Friday, be buried on Friday, and now on Sunday, There are reports that he's risen. But they're all from women who were overexcited, so the apostles didn't believe them. And so these two disciples were so overwhelmed that they decided they needed just to go home. So Cleophas is the name of one of them. Luke doesn't tell us the other name. I have my own ideas about that. But they were going home to Emmaus, which was 7 miles away, when a mysterious stranger starts walking with them. And it was the risen Christ. But they didn't recognize him because they were too overwhelmed by the emotional responses that they didn't recognize him. And so he walked with them all the way home, all 7 miles. And when they got to Emmaus, they still didn't know who he was. They invited him into the house. They tell him, look, it's getting late out. Please come and dine with us tonight. Jesus always accepts our invitation when we ask him to come into our hearts. He always does. Now, sometimes he comes because we don't have the sense to ask him to come in. But he loves us so much that he is with us through all things, including death, destruction, catastrophe. And so Jesus goes into the house at Emmaus, takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. And their eyes are opened, and he disappears from their sight. So they are overwhelmed again with emotion, and they run back the 7 miles to the upper room, burst in, and that's when our lesson for today begins. They're telling the apostles, we've seen the Lord. He is alive. We knew him in the breaking of the bread. Now, at that point, the apostles said, yes, he's already appeared to Peter. And then at that moment, Jesus himself appears into the middle of them, in their midst. The doors being closed, the windows being locked, he appears. And you know how they responded? With absolute terror. They're scared, overwhelmed. They thought that they were seeing a ghost. That's not the first time they thought he was a ghost. When they were in a storm on the Sea of Galilee in their little boat in the middle of the night, they thought they were going to die. And then Jesus comes walking to them on the sea. And they're horror-stricken again because they think they're seeing a ghost. Now, Jesus, in this wonderful exchange with his closest friends on that Easter evening, says, and you can almost hear his voice saying, why are you so afraid and frightened? Why do such doubts arise in your hearts? You see, it is I myself here with you. Look at my hands and my feet. See that I have got flesh and bone, and ghosts don't have that. Touch and see. So he not only speaks to them holy words of comfort, invites them to touch and to feel and to experience for themselves. It is I, myself, who is with you. And so into the midst of this cascadingly scary emotions that sometimes we get, when we get overwhelmed, Jesus speaks to us in the same way. You see, he's with us through all of those, everything that we go through. Such is his love and care for us. And so he invites his apostles to touch and see. And then in the most amazing thing of all, I just love this. He says, you got anything to eat around here? Now, do you think Jesus returned from the grave hungry He is reassuring his closest friends that he is who he says he is. God's only son returned from the grave alive, and he consumes a piece of baked fish in their midst. And then he says, now do you see? Now do you see? It is I am with you. And do you see that everything that was written about me in the law and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled? That the Christ, God's Messiah, must be handed over and put to death and buried and then rise on the third day, so that from now on, forgiveness of sins can be given to you by repentance in my name. From now on, you are forgiven your sins through me. Do you see? And then he says the most incredible thing of all at the end of this wonderful passage today. He says, do you understand now? Do you understand all that we've been through? All that has happened is for you, all of you. Now, you are witnesses of all these things. Who is the word you referring to? Just 10 men in the upper room, 11 men maybe? A few of the women from Galilee. Who is the you? That word is not stuck in time in the first century in Jerusalem in an upper room. That word applies to every single one of us. We're here in His presence, at His invitation, at His table, where He will take the bread and break it and feed us. Our eyes will be opened to recognize Him in the breaking of bread as we partake of this holy meal, having received His holy word read before us, this holy story continuing to have power in our lives today, so that we can be His witnesses too. When we go out from here after this Mass, we are His witnesses. You know, there is an old story that came out of the Middle Ages. It's probably not true, but it makes an excellent point that when Jesus returned to heaven after spending His 40 days with His apostles, after His resurrection, He was with them for 40 days, speaking to them on many occasions, breaking bread with them and appearing once to more than 500 people at one time. The story says that when Jesus ascended into heaven, the angels appeared around Him and said, Lord, You have changed the world. You have done this mighty thing. You have given them this great message of hope and forgiveness, and compassion. How is that word going to get passed on to succeeding generations? And Jesus said, I've picked a few good men and women to pass the word on. And according to this story, the angel said, oh no, Lord, You're not talking about Peter, are You? James and John, the ones with the bad temper, Mary Magdalene, Jesus, surely You've got a backup plan for this. He said, no. They are My plan. They are My witnesses. You are His witnesses. At His word, we walk out of here with all that we need within us to change the world for Him, by remembering that He sends us, He's with us, He will never leave us. He has His love. He's placed in our heart His compassion. We have all that we need to change the world through Him, because out of His own mouth, you are my witnesses. Thanks be to God.